Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a Tuesday. It's October 6th. It's a pleasure to talk with you. We are getting ready for Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Obviously, it has been a very fun final so far. I talked a little bit yesterday before our show got going with Joe Mullinax and Parker Fleming, but you know the Heat made it a Finals. You know, it looked like that the Lakers had a good chance of potentially moving on. With there being, a lot of success for them through Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But, hey, Anthony Davis got into a bit of foul trouble. Jimmy Butler took over. A great stat for Jimmy Butler yesterday was to show that he was playing his game. 40 points, 14 of 20 shooting, 0 3-pointers. It shows that he was getting to the line and getting good shots at the rim, which is the strength of his game. And he did it the entire game versus doing it in the fourth quarter. So kudos to the Heat and making it a series. Really looking forward to game four tonight, obviously. And we'll talk with you a little bit more about that tomorrow as we have another guest. Obviously, this week, as I mentioned yesterday, through myself and through some guests that will be joining me, we are doing a series called Brainstorming the Backcourt. And yesterday, we talked with Joe Mullinax and Parker Fleming from Grizzly Bear Blues, really looking at how the offseason might, how things might go about the offseason. You know, what could they see as far as the future goes? Would they cash in and make a big addition now? Do they think it needs to wait till later? Just looking at a bunch of different overall perspectives from a macro and micro level at the Grizzlies backcourt, you know, just to see what the next step would be. Today, I'm going to look at each individual player. And I did the player reviews. We've talked a lot about the backcourt performances in the bubble and during the season. But what are some things what are some traits that if each player improves upon in their game, that there is evidence that it does lead to good results for the Grizzlies? And we'll talk about everyone from Ja Morant down to John Concher as far as the Grizzlies backcourt goes. Before we get in too much into that, I do want to remind you of where you can find myself. You can find me at StatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz. The podcast is available where anywhere podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone, wherever you may choose to listen. And we ask that you do listen, subscribe, review. Let us know what you feel about the show and interact with us through DMs on Twitter, wherever it may be. Let us know if you have any questions or want any content discussed. We always want to make sure that our content is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Myself, as I mentioned yesterday, we had the GBB Leadership Grizzly Bear Blues. I've been writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues now for a few years. I've had some podcast experience through the 3&D podcast and came on over here as the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, first with Mark King, and have been here flying solo for the past 2 months. I enjoy what I do because I'm passionate about the Grizzlies sports and basketball and always love interacting with those who I share passions with. It just makes life better, so it's always an honor and a privilege to, you know, talk with you on these shows. But let's get into, you know, the Grizzlies backcourt. You know, we talked about different areas in which, you know, the Grizzlies, the names in the Grizzlies backcourt could improve. And obviously, you know, as we've, you know, always discussed, the center of any Grizz discussion nowadays, as it should be, revolves around Ja Morant. Well, you know, I've talked with, you know, several folks over the past couple of weeks about a couple of different perspectives. And one was a gentleman by the name of Tim, who goes by Cranjus McBasketball on Twitter. He talked a little bit about Ja's shooting ability. I talked with it a little bit more with Joe and Parker yesterday. But we know that really the next step, the next evolution, if you will, in Ja Morant's success as a player, his step towards stardom, and what really could allow for the franchise to take the next step towards being a sustainable winner, is his ability to shoot. You know, whether it be from pull-up threes, out of the pick and roll, whatever it may be, his decision-making on shots and his consistency certainly is a needed development and one that will be watched closely. And just in general, there's a lot of confidence that he will eventually make solid strides, significant improvements in that area as time goes on. We've got time. This doesn't have to be done tomorrow. But it is clear that the next step for Ja Morant to take is his ability to shoot, especially from three. But I think another added bonus to that would be, you know, Morant's ability when he's at the rim to add depth to his ability to score. And what do I mean by that? I mean that by this fact. Ja Morant was second in the NBA. He only followed DeMar DeRozan. He was second in the NBA in terms of drives to the basket this season. Now, that's him going to the basket, making shots, taking layups, whatever it may be. A lot of that was on fast breaks. A lot of that was during the fourth quarter, but he was second in the league. Now, that's both an encouraging stat, and also not necessarily a concerning one, but one that you kind of, you know, you pay attention to. Because when you look at Ja Morant, his body size and the way that, you know, he plays, there's a lot of explosiveness, a lot of athleticism, but there also is, you know, a point guard's body. So you don't want him, in all honesty, to go into, you know, a crowd of big 6 to 8 times a game and have that contact on a consistent basis. You know, that's eventually going to wear him down. So the ability to shoot, if other teams are guarding against that, is one way to combat it. Now, a good thing about Ja Morant is that he's not doing that the entire game. You would love for him to, but you also ideally don't want for him to. You don't want for him to sit there and go to the basket on drives 10 to 12 times a game, even if that is the strength of his game, because it just increases the chance of injury or for him being less effective. One very good element of Morant's game, as I've highlighted with his fourth quarter production, he knows when to turn it on. He knows when defenses tire, when he needs to turn on the jets and get to the basket. We saw it in the bubble. He led us on many fourth quarter comebacks through his ability to do that. Well, the thing about it is, though, is that through that, hopefully in time, there will be more free throw attempts that will occur. For instance, Ja Morant was second in the NBA this year when it came to drives, total drives. But he was 40th in the NBA when it came to free throw attempts. Now, a couple of different factors go into that. Number one, a lot of times Ja Morant was making his shots on the fast break. For a guard, he is very efficient at the rim. But the other thing about it is that, just in all honesty, Ja Morant still is building his persona, building his recognition, and that matters. We're in a league where typically superstars do get calls. Hopefully Morant in time will get calls. But the importance of Morant being able to get those free throws in place is that it allows for the Grizzlies, especially late in games, to have a good chance of being able to add to their score. It gives them depth and another wrinkle in their offense that they can rely on. Morant was nearly 78% from free throws this year. And when he made 5 or more free throws, the Grizzlies were 8-6. So yeah, again, it's not like it's just absolutely a significant development for the Grizzlies' success in Morant's game for him to make 5 or more free throws each game. But if he did, it does show, there is proof that it allows for the Grizzlies to have, even if it's just a small increase, it betters their chances to win, especially late in games. But you also got to look at the threes. You know, Ja Morant made 2 or more threes in 14 games this year. The Grizzlies were 9-5. The significance of that is that if Morant could get anywhere close to getting multiple threes a game, that's him getting to a level where defenses have to respect his ability out there. And then if they do that, you open up the lanes more for him to drive, you open up his passing ability a bit more as well. Overall, the whole point of this is that if Morant, with his driving ability, can also add a better chance of getting to the free throw line and become a better shooter, it just allows for him to become so much deeper of a threat. He has multiple ways in which he can score. And an example of that would be in the 6 games where Morant hit 2 or more threes and got 5 or more free throws, the Grizzlies were 5-1. It's absolute proof that if Morant can become even a passable to, you know, somewhat reliable shooter to where he's at least a threat and can start getting to the line more, it really will help out the Grizzlies in terms of their ability to succeed. We saw it in the bubble, though the Grizzlies did lose big to Boston just simply because Boston was playing full strength and is the better team. Morant at least kept the Grizzlies in it because of his elite play in getting to the line. And then, of course, arguably his best game of the year, in which he basically was willing the Grizzlies to have a chance to beat the Blazers in that play-in game. Again, Morant made 6 free throws. He also made 3 threes, scored 35 points. He was amazing late, especially because once the Blazers had tired, he was able to be effective. But again, the added depth from different ways of scoring, not only in the lane and on two-pointers, but also from three and from the line, it gives the Grizzlies an increased chance to win. So for Morant, if there's something that, you know, you really would like to see a difference, not necessarily a difference, but you would like to see incremental increases in, is his ability to get to the line and make multiple threes, because the results show they really are effective for Memphis. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to look at the complementary pieces to Morant in the backcourt. I'm going to talk about a few other names and how those other names in the Grizzlies' backcourt, if they add elements to their game, proof shows that it can be very successful and advantageous for Memphis. It's now October. The fall is here, and there likely are several different reasons as to why your life is more on the go. Kids in school, more activities going up, holidays right around the corner. Of course, it's the most inopportune time for you to need car repair needs. But of course, as we all know, that's likely when it's going to happen. Well, if you're someone like me who doesn't really know what they're doing when it comes to repairing a car, I at least can tell you where you can go to find the right parts. And no matter if you are someone like me who doesn't know much about cars, you do your own car repairs, or you do car repairs for a living, rockauto.com is a great source to use. Number one, it's easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you'll easily find what you need. And more than likely, you're going to find what you need because it has many different parts and selection, no matter from the most obscure part to the most frequently needed part. And it's likely going to be available for any make and model you may own. Rockauto.com is also very cost effective. This is a family-owned business. They know that car repairs typically fall outside of your budget, so they try to keep prices as fair as possible to make it work. If you visit rockauto.com today, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. I think I can speak for a lot of us when I say that many days during the week, especially if you've been, you know, going through a tough time at work, whatever it may be, there's the possibility of running into a wall. It could be just getting out of bed. It could be, getting motivated to do a task at work. It could be getting that morning or afternoon workout done. For me, it's getting back going after lunch, since I love a good lunch during the work day. But whatever it may be, there's likely a good chance that many of us have to overcome some sort of wall during the day. Well, one thing I can tell you is that there is an option out there that really could assist in that process, and it's called BuiltGo. BuiltGo makes you the best you at whatever what you do. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's an easy-to-take 1.5 package of drinkable gel. It basically is a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. What makes it work so well? BuiltGo combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite you to work. And it kicks in to keep you going. Right now, if you go to BuiltGo.com and you put in the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, if you go to BuiltGo.com and you use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. I can tell you this, if you add BuiltGo to your daily routine, I feel with confidence that you'll continue to do that going forward. Again, go to BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and get 30% off your next order of BuiltGo. So for tomorrow's show, which will be Wednesday of this week, I will be very happy to welcome back a familiar name. A lot of you, I'm sure, follow him and his work over at the Daily Memphian. Drew Hill will revisit with us. He has been going a lot of different avenues. He's reported some updates as the Grizzlies season has gone along so far, or offseason has gone along. We're going to be glad to welcome him in. We're mainly going to talk with him about the backcourt, but also going to talk with him about a few other developments, like the coaching staff. The Grizzlies have started showing interest towards some prospects for the draft that Drew's reported on. So just going to get some updates on, you know, with the snippets of news that we got, what it means as far as the Grizzlies offseason goes. So getting back to the backcourt, so we talked a little bit about, you know, we're looking at elements of each of the names in the Grizzlies backcourt that, if they become more consistent, could, you know, again, increase the Grizzlies' chance to win. And with Ja Morant, the first segment I talked about his ability to get to the line more and also shoot threes. And of course, the other big name is Dylan Brooks. Now, I talked with Joe and Parker yesterday. You know, we really talked about, you know, what Dylan, you know, his future value with this team is. Signed for another 3 years and $30 million. You know, that could go a variety of ways. If he continues to develop and it could become a significant starter next to Ja, you've got an unbelievable discount. If the Grizzlies were to eventually find a more prominent talent to be the starter, you have Dylan become a sixth man, he still can make that contracted discount because he likely has the skill set to thrive in a six-man role. If you continue just to see, you know, there's flashes of it, but not really a lot of consistency, Dylan could be used as a trade piece. You know, it's hard really right now to determine what way he would add the most value, but due to his contract and his progression this season, you could kind of see it work out. Well, of course, we know with Dylan, there's Jekyll and Hyde. You know, we know that when he scores 20 or more points, the Grizzlies, I believe, are 18-4 this season. But the thing about it is that the overwhelming majority of those games were against weaker competition between December and January of this year. We also know that he can be very, you know, polarizing when it comes to his play against better talent. If he's on, the Grizzlies really can play with anyone, but if he's off, he potentially can add another 8 to 10, bad possessions per game through bad decision making, taking bad shots, or whatever that may be. So the point is with Dylan, is that he is a volume shooter, but it does seem like at times that the way that he feels he can get going if he struggles to start the game is by shooting more. Well, of course, what you run into when it comes to the Grizzlies when that happens is that that's wasted possessions, and the Grizzlies, in their pursuit of becoming a contender, that decision-making is going to have to improve so that they can capitalize on as many good offensive opportunities as possible. We talked about Dylan's numbers in the bubble. Overall, 44%, nearly 20, I believe, right at or over 20 points per game, but we know that that was more hit and miss than it was consistency. There were some games where he was, dreadful. There were other games where he was at times dominant, and it really, and especially towards the end of the bubble, it really helped the Grizzlies, in their bubble on a much better note that, had been anticipated even a week before they left Orlando. But a couple of cool stats to throw out there, just talking about, when Dylan's decision-making is in a good spot, it can lead to success for Memphis. For instance, when Dylan had made four more threes, he averaged a little over two per game. But when Dylan made four more threes this season, the Grizzlies were 9-4. Now, that's just naturally going to happen because if Dylan is our, best source of self-sufficient scoring and he's sitting there knocking down those three-point shots, it likely means that the Grizzlies are being offensively consistent to the point that they're going to have success. So I don't think that Dylan is going to sit there and make four threes on a consistent basis. It's hard to expect that. But he did it in 13 of 73 games this season. Say, for instance, Dylan were to increase that over an 82-game season to maybe 15 to 20 games. Maybe he could do that. Now, that's a big step forward, but he does have the potential to do that. So if the Grizzlies were able to get him maybe to 17, 18, 19, 20 games next season if he stays healthy over a full season, and he's able to sit there and hit that many threes in a game, that may be another extra two or three wins for the Grizzlies, which, as we know this season, would have made all the difference in the world. So when Dylan is making good decisions and is getting open for three-point shots, it really helps out Memphis. Another big stat for Memphis is when Dylan shoots 45% or better from the field, meaning that he's making good decisions when it comes to his shots. He's not just, trying to shoot out of a slump. But he also has three or more assists, meaning he's adding another element to his game to contribute. The Grizzlies were 9-1. Again, the Grizzlies were 9-1 this season when Dylan Brooks shot 45% or better from the field and had three or more assists per game. That right there shows that his decision-making is in place. He's showing good shot selection while also setting up other teammates if his shot is not there. If the Grizzlies can make that happen, maybe instead of, 15% of the time, can get that to 20 or 25% of the time, that again is a really big benefit. So the Grizzlies are successful when Dylan has shown the potential that he can make better decisions in terms of his shooting and also adding other elements with his passing. It's definitely beneficial to the Grizzlies when Dylan, for lack of a better phrase, when it's good Dylan. But if Dylan can get more consistent with his offensive mindset and his overall decision-making when it comes to knowing if his shot's not there, there are other ways he can contribute and stay within the rhythm of the offense, it could be a big step forward for not only his game, but also the Grizzlies as well. Of course, the other name, the one that we've been talking about, and we'll talk a little bit more with Drew about tomorrow, is D'Anthony Melton. I know that that's been a discussion. We had the discussion yesterday in regards to Melton. There's been a lot of different sources around Memphis that have discussed his upcoming restricted free agency. There's a lot of different ways to go. Maybe a sign and trade. If someone wants to spend too much money, let him go. Obviously, if the Grizzlies you know, especially if the NBA's overall contract situation, if the earnings are a little bit lower than expected due to what's going on with COVID, there's a chance that, you know, Melton could stay. And as we all know, it's going to be a benefit for him to do that. He fits into the culture here. In my opinion, he is a nice contrast when he's on the court to a lot of the Grizzlies' high offensive potential talents. And we know that his playmaking ability on defense as well as in transition are a big boost. But the hope is that through the anticipation and the intelligence that he shows on defense, he might be able to continue showing that type of impact on offense in terms of improving his scoring. That is a big thing for DeAnthony Melton. Now, when he scored 10 or more points this year in 19 games, the Grizzlies were 11-8. Now, a couple of things that need to be thought about that, though, are this, is that several of those games, it was because he was getting more playing time because the Grizzlies were either being blown out or they were up big. There were several of his highest scoring games where the Grizzlies actually lost. He was just getting, you know, a good amount of run because the game was, you know, already, you know, out of question. So that's another thing to consider, is that when Melton is a significant scoring source, when he gets in double digits, the Grizzlies were 11-8 this year. But the other thing about Melton that we all know is that, you know what, the next step for him is to improve his scoring. But the consistency of his Mr. Do-Something attitude, in which he's a playmaker, he fills up the stat sheet, you know, you can call him an analytical darling, whatever it may be, but his activeness, or excuse me, his activity, the amount of energy that he puts into the game, and the intelligence he shows to make plays, that also contributes to the Grizzlies' success. In 13 games this season, Melton had four or more assists, two or more steals, and three or more rebounds. The Grizzlies were 8-5 in those games. In several of those games, I think in only actually four of them, Melton scored in double digits. So even if he is not producing as far as scoring goes, if he struggles, you know, from the field that night, he still adds significant value with his elite ability to rebound as a guard, his playmaking ability on defense, and his ability in transition to pass and even be, you know, a backup ball handler at times. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot to like about Melton. You certainly want for his scoring to improve, and in time, if he can do that, that will be a significant development for him, and hopefully, you know, with him still being on the Grizzlies. But there also is plenty of value in him scoring, in which the way that he knows to score due to his strengths as a player, but also more than anything, the continued consistency of the other things he brings to the table, which is his ability to pass as a secondary playmaker, playmaker on defense through steals and blocks, and also his ability to rebound. So for Dylan Brooks in general, it is the decision-making, man. Setting up other teammates if his shot may not be there that night. For DeAnthony Melton, it is improving his scoring, especially catch and shoot, like we saw in the scrimmages in the bubble. If he can add that element to his game, DeAnthony Melton will become even more valuable. But for Melton, it's still finding ways to score based off his strengths, as well as continuing his consistent playmaking ability and creating things to happen on both ends of the court. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to look a bit more at the other guards. We're going to go back down the hierarchy of the Grizzlies' backcourt. Maybe not so much stats, but some different observations about names such as Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, and John Contra that I feel could add elements to their game that really could continue to improve it and make our bench even stronger going forward. So when I talked with Parker yesterday, especially, we talked about the success of Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen. Really talked about how both of these players, when you looked at their underlying shooting numbers, Jones and his ability on pull-up threes, and then, of course, Grayson Allen on his ability in catch-and-shoot situations, those parts of their games, that facet of their games, really emerge. And I've talked about it when I did the podcast about the shooting. I talked about that both of those players really did take noticeable steps in their ability to shoot the three. Now, think about it as this, is that I do not anticipate, you know, I just don't see it to where either one of these players emerge as just a, you know, coming forward as a significant contributor from three. I know Krangisman Basketball, when he was on the show last Friday, he mentioned, you know, he threw out a Duncan Robinson and Grayson Allen comparison just in talking about that they were, you know, had similar ways in which they found success shooting the three. But I don't think that Grayson Allen is going to be the next player to step up like Duncan Robinson did this season. But there is that aspect of their games that if they continue to rely on it, really adds an element to the Grizzlies' bench. We've talked about the Grizzlies' bench. We talked about their ability to pass, their ability to make good shots, the efficiency of Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, a 1-2 combination that really, really emerged well. But as we also know, when it comes to Taylor Jenkins, he really wants to expand his ability to shoot. He wants to shoot the three. And he has found, through his schematics, that he does have that ability with Tyus Jones getting shots and Grayson Allen getting shots. Now, for Tyus Jones specifically, I think that something that he should embrace more is his ability to pull up. It's great, as we've talked about, with his ability to get into the lane. He shows a preference to shoot the short floater and the short jump shots. That's not necessarily at the rim due to his size, but getting the bigs down near the rim and then pulling up a little bit, you know, on the floater or on the jump shot, you know, within basically 5 to 12 feet of the basket. Well, if he could start doing that and making decisions off pick and rolls and, you know, in isolation type setups and hitting threes on a potential consistent basis, that really adds another element to the Grizzlies bench. But for me, the big thing about this combination and them playing together between Jones and Grayson Allen, and especially if Allen, you know, is going to join Melton and Jones kind of in a three-guard backup setting, you know, with the Grizzlies, if they want to go that route with their shooting ability off the bench. For me, Grayson Allen really has an element to his game that I think he could embrace to become a significant contributor over at least his next 2 years with Memphis. And that's his off-the-ball ability with not only his energy, but his intelligence. We talked about it. A movement three-point shooter, as Cranchessman Basketball, TM from Cranchessman Basketball mentioned, is that ability to use your intelligence to move off the ball to find openings from three. Grayson was able to do it in the bubble. He didn't necessarily run off screens kind of like you know see Rip Hamilton do or Reggie Miller or Stephen Curry, but he did find short quick maneuvers that created the space to get open for a pass and shoot the three. I think that really helps out. I think that one thing about Grayson Allen that showed in the bubble besides his three-point ability is his intelligence. He has very good anticipation skills, especially on offense. You would love to see that type of development from D'Anthony Melton, and that may come with time. But with Grayson Allen, I do think that there is the capability for him to continue to show his intelligence off the ball to get open for threes, and that we saw it in the bubble. I really think that's a continued aspect of his game that hopefully if the Grizzlies could dial that up maybe one or two more times per game and get an extra three made, that's a big development. With Tyus Jones, it's the ability to, you know, show the pull-up option from distance. Don't abandon what works. Don't abandon your ability to set up teammates. Don't abandon your ability to get into the lane and shoot those floaters. But also, if you add the element of shooting, of that pull-up shooting from distance, that confidence in hitting that shot, it's just one extra thing that defenses are going to have to respect about the Grizzlies bench. And then you've really got something working where, again, the Grizzlies may not have just a premier overall wonderful talent that will compete against these other teams that got superstars. But what the Grizzlies do have is a variety of ways in which they could find advantages against you in two units with their starting unit and their backup unit. Finally, the last name that I mentioned is John Concher. And for me, John Concher, you know, you really don't think of him as, you know, there are plenty of things he could add to his game. But especially if Melton is kept around, Concher probably won't be called upon in big moments. But you could see Concher take on a bigger role if Melton were to be traded. So it is relevant. Now, Concher put up amazing stats in his time here. But I do think, I don't necessarily know if he would be as effective as D'Anthony Melton. It's hard to ask him to have that type of athletic ability in transition plus anticipation. I think he does have that. He does have that Mr. Do Something mentality. But I don't necessarily know if he can do it as consistently or effective as D'Anthony Melton. Of course, you know, we wouldn't know unless he comes into a role. But say he does. I think that Concher doing that everything type setup is important. His intelligence is important. Making plays in different ways, knowing when to shoot the open three, make the extra passes, rebounding ability as a guard, All those things are good. But with Kotcher, I think that there's just also that ability for him to simply be in the game and make things happen. Help defense, I think, is something that John Kotcher showed a few times he could be good at. He made good, smart plays when he was in the game for the team on defense. So with Kotcher, I'm not necessarily saying that he's a talent that really doesn't need to improve. It's just that I don't really know in his role if an improvement somewhere is going to make that big of an impact. It's really him in a bigger role continuing to be that all that across the board producer that I really think could help his game moving forward. So just some ideas as far as the Grizzlies guards go of added ways, you know, some common sense ways in which they can evolve their game, and then just some simple things that we know that they have shown they have the capability of doing, but if they can all do it consistently, and the more times we see, you know, 4 out of 6 of these guards do these things in the game, or 3 out of 6 of these guards do these things in a game, that really is small incremental things that could prove to be big advantages for Memphis to help them get those extra needed wins to make the playoffs, you know, next year and beyond as they work their way towards contention. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsASAC. We will have Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian tomorrow, continuing our series of brainstorming the backcourt, as well as discussing some other news, some news from around the league and with the Grizzlies this offseason. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsASAC, and you can also find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Until next time, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon again here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.